Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Working to support communities impacted by extreme weather, a new grant program is now available to small agricultural businesses affected by recent drought and floods. The Governor's Office of Business and Economic Development is now accepting applications for the California Small Agricultural Business Drought and Flood Relief Grant Program. The first round of applications opens September 1st, and a program will ultimately award up to $95 million in drought and flood relief grants to eligible small agricultural businesses to cover part of the costs incurred from California's extreme drought from 2019 to 2022 and the 2023 storm flooding impacts. This significant allocation of funds underscores California's steadfast commitment to bolstering the backbone of its agricultural sector, particularly in the face of mounting climate-related changes. By extending a helping hand to small agricultural businesses, the state not only safeguards essential livelihoods, but also fortifies the foundation of its agricultural economy. The California Governor's Office of Emergency Services supported the state as it weathered a three-year drought starting in 2020, depleting vital reservoirs and groundwater reserves. Cal OES authored response recovery efforts following intense storms that caused widespread floods on this dry terrain. Given that a significant portion of California's agricultural terrain lies in flood-prone areas, the vulnerability to floods is notably heightened. This grant program is part of the comprehensive recovery process through interagency recovery coordination. Cal OES works directly with Cal OSBA and dozens of other state agencies to formulate plans and best use all resources available. For more information, log on to the California Governor's Office of Emergency Services website. Interviewers from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Agricultural Statistics Service will interview more than 2,400 California fruit growers to gather information for the 2023 Fruit Chemical Use Survey this fall. The survey will collect information on pesticide permit IDs, bearing acreage, pest management practices, fertilizer application, including acres treated and rates applied to more than 18 fruit crops. In addition to California, fruit growers in 11 other states will also hear from NAS as the agency collects comprehensive U.S. fruit production practices information. NAS safeguards the privacy of all respondents. The information provided will be used for statistical purposes only. Responses will be kept confidential and will not be disclosed in identifiable form. The data from the survey will be published online in NAS's QuickStats database next year. The database and all NAS reports are available at nas.usda.gov. Farmers along the California-Oregon border have reported millions of dollars in losses from a torrent of grasshoppers and Mormon crickets feeding on rangeland and irrigated crops this season. Siskiyou County Agricultural Commissioner James Smith filed a request with the California Office of Emergency Services seeking a disaster declaration from the Secretary of the State Department of Food and Agriculture. The preliminary damage to farmers in the county is estimated at $8.6 million in reported losses. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Farm Service Agency has announced that final payments for the rice production program are planned to go out here soon. The RPP is a $250 million assistance program for U.S. rice farmers who experienced stagnant rice prices and record high input costs during a 2022 crop year. Rice farmers who were approved and received a first-round payment will not be required to submit a new application. The final payment rate will be 28 cents per pound based on previous reported data, bringing overall assistance to a total of $1.28 per pound for crop year 2022. A factor of 60% will be applied to prevented planted acres. For more information, log on to calricenews.org. A new report released by the University of California Berkeley Labor Center finds that record trucking costs in 2021 were not due to a long-term shortage of truck drivers in California. The report, called Ensuring the Supply of Agricultural Truck Drivers, What the State of California Can Do, found that while there is not a shortage of people interested in truck driving, the industry faces challenges with retaining drivers, with turnover being especially high for long-haul drivers. The report, the first in-depth look at the labor market for agricultural truck drivers in California and the first study of this workforce anywhere in the U.S. in almost 30 years, found that the disruptions from the COVID-19 pandemic, along with already reduced seasonal driver capacity, were responsible for the rate hikes that were seen in agricultural shipping. Employers are slashing workforces just as the pandemic was hitting, and then struggled to rehire drivers and add equipment as the economy restarted, demand surged, and labor markets tightened as part of a broader supply chain disruption. The report was co-authored by Steve Viselli, an economic sociologist at the University of Pennsylvania, and it looked at a wide range of statistical data from state and federal sources. There were several drivers that were interviewed, as well as shippers, industry associations, and other stakeholders. He said that better efforts in recruiting and training drivers would ease turnover and improve job satisfaction, particularly for agricultural trucking, which is critical to California's economy, but can often be seasonal or require specialized equipment. New drivers are likely to attend training school for several weeks and then spend weeks or months out on the road with a trainer. Drivers are often required to sign a training contract that indebts them to the employer unless they stay with the employer for a year. The training system is organized backward, according to Viselli. He says drivers should be trained locally and employed locally at the start of their careers. Difficult, dangerous, long-haul work should then be the well-paid choice of safe, experienced drivers. The report recommendations include California working with agricultural trucking companies, local training programs, and community colleges to expand and create opportunities for local training that can lead to local jobs that give workers more time behind the wheel in local environments. These programs should be modeled as apprenticeships rather than the boot camp style of many programs. California should review the safety impacts of split speed limits for cars and trucks. Truck drivers complain that having to drive more slowly than the cars with which they share the road creates a safety issue. And it recommends the state should also consider adding new public rest areas or expanding existing facilities to allow truckers to find safe places to park and take breaks more easily. Viselli suggests that better tracking of where training dollars are going and fostering partnerships between successful trainers and good employers would also maximize returns on those dollars and benefit workers. The report found that almost a year since AB 5, the law governing job classification for employees and contractors, went into effect, there are no obvious signs of the negative impact feared by some shipping companies. In fact, rather than discouraging small business trucking, indications are that the law may be fostering an increase in small business formation. The full report is available on the UC Labor Center website. Fresno Madera Farm Credit and CoBank have jointly announced a $30,000 donation to Central California Food Bank's Feeding Families Fund Drive. The donation will provide over 180,000 meals to rural residents of Central California, many of whom have limited access to full-service grocery stores and have been severely impacted by the rising cost of food. After a four-year decline in potato production nationwide, the season's crop appears poised to buck the trend, spurred by strong demand and improved water supplies. Higher processing contract prices are driving much of the increased acreage. California's mostly fresh market growers may see prices decline once harvest starts elsewhere. California's fall and spring fresh market potato crops typically enjoy prices two to three times those of Idaho russets because they fill specialty markets and hit a market window when other states are not harvesting. New data from USDA's Economic Research Service shows organic strawberries offer growers higher prices than conventional strawberries. Fresh strawberry prices tend to exhibit strong seasonal trends, partly because of their relatively short shelf life. In the United States, grower prices for fresh organic strawberries move in tandem with conventional strawberry prices throughout the year, while also typically running 40 to 50% higher than conventional prices. This difference is known as a price premium. In late fall and throughout the winter, supply wanes, even though demand runs robust. During this period, grower price premiums for organic strawberries rise above typical levels. From 2018 to 2022, the highest average price premium was in January, when organic strawberry prices were 74 to 88% higher than conventional strawberries. Price premiums in July average 18 to 24%. Since 2008, domestic organic strawberry acreage has tripled in California, which provides about 75% of U.S. organic strawberry production.
AgroPlantae is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlanté formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlanté developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlanté, imagination, innovation, science in action.
Food shoppers in 2024 may see food price inflation fall to levels not seen in about 4 years. USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford.
If you do the grocery shopping at your house, you know firsthand that food prices have gone up a lot in the last 3 years, especially in 2022. But there is some good news on the food price front. The latest forecast for food price inflation at the grocery store this year is for prices to end up 5% higher this year than last. And that
is well below the 11.4% increase we saw in 2022.
USDA economist Matt McLaughlin told us, no, we have not seen overall grocery price inflation disappear this year, but
what we have seen this whole year is very gradual disinflation, or not price decreases, but a slowing of price increases. And we expect them also to continue into the future as well.
Yes, in fact, Matt's early forecast for 2024 is for grocery store food prices to rise, but only by 1.6%. The average yearly food inflation rate over the last 20 years has just been 2%. So we may finally see
prices returning to normalcy.
Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Hundreds of International Fresh Produce Association members descended on the nation's capital for the Washington Conference. The event is for the produce and floral industry to come to Washington to hear from industry leaders, policy experts, and influence policymakers. Attendees bring the produce industry's needs and its stories to the elected leaders, making the critical decisions that shape the way the industry works for years to come. Key takeaways from the conference are produce should be half the plate, but the Farm Bill spends less than 8% on programs aimed specifically at specialty crops. Congress must provide a better balance of resources for produce and specialty crops in the upcoming Farm Bill. As for labor, the industry cannot survive in America unless Congress passes meaningful immigration reform that ensures access to an affordable, predictable, and reliable workforce. When it comes to food safety, the Food and Drug Administration must follow through on its cultural transformation to modernize the agency to be more collaborative, transparent, and effective. Congress must hold the FDA accountable. And for nutrition, to grow produce consumption, the fresh produce supply chain must be used to end hunger and reduce diet-related diseases. The Department of Agriculture has announced it is giving an estimated 3,000 more school districts in high-need areas the option to serve breakfast and lunch to all students at no cost. The expansion is possible through the Community Eligibility Provision, commonly known as CEP. USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack says the effort will decrease childhood hunger, improve child health and student readiness, and put the nation on a path to better nutrition and wellness. CEP is a simplified meal service option that allows schools to provide meals at no cost to all students without requiring families to apply for free and reduced price meals. School districts receive federal funding based on a formula using existing data, and local or state funds must fill any gap between program costs and federal support. Previously, at least 40% of students had to live in households participating in federal assistance programs for a school or school district to be eligible for CEP. This final rule lowers that threshold from 40 to 25%. Entrepreneur and co-founder of Helio, Arthur Erickson, is revolutionizing the farming industry with drone technology. These drones are built for all farmers in all agribusinesses, large and small. The drones can spray hundreds of thousands of acres per day, replacing ground rigs or contracted aerial services.
Our drones specifically are agricultural drones, so meaning that they have to fly like any other drone. But there's also systems on board that control precise amount of liquid coming out of them, right? So we have a flow controller that makes sure that you're spraying 2 or 3 or 4 gallons per acre, whatever it is you want, precisely at that exact gallonage or dosage. We design, manufacture, and ship out all of our drones. Our headquarters is on a ranch where we have plenty of space to test our products and spray and just practice. We have 4 models right now, so they range from, on the small end, 2.5 gallons all the way to 18 gallons on the big end.
These American-made drones are built and designed with producer feedback in mind, creating a tool that allows farmers to improve their bottom line. For more information, search Helio, and it's spelled H-Y-L-I-O. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has announced funding to support drought resilience on tribal lands. NOAA is providing the funding to support projects that will help tribal nations address current and future drought risk. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo says that enhancing drought resilience with tribal partners in the West is a crucial step in building a climate-ready nation. Proposals may request funding of up to $700,000 total to be disseminated in the first year and expended over 3 years in a form of cooperative agreements. A total of 3 to 5 projects may be funded depending on the project budget requested. Applications should be developed by or in full partnership with tribal nations to fund the implementation of activities that address current and future drought risk in the context of a changing climate on tribal lands across the western U.S. The NOAA Climate Program Office's National Integrated Drought Information System anticipates a funding allocation of approximately $2 million pending the availability of funds in fiscal year 2024. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service is authorizing the importation of commercial baby kiwi fruit from France into the continental United States. APHIS previously made a pest risk assessment and a risk management document available for public review and comment. No comments were received. APHIS concluded that the application of one or more phytosanitary measures will be sufficient to mitigate the risks of introducing or disseminating plant pests or noxious weeds for imports of baby fresh kiwi fruit from France. This change was effective on September 26th.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.